It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. Happy to welcome Marco Price to the radio station. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
We just had the pleasure of seeing you down at South by Southwest. A fun show. You played many. How many did you play at South by Southwest?
Maybe eight.
Eight.
I'm trying to remember now. It seems like a whirlwind.
There is obviously a great respect for traditional country songwriting. Does it matter to you how your music is categorized or you know, what it's identified as?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think if it's getting out there, then I don't mind if people call it, you know, traditional country or, you know, Americana or, you know, modern country. It's country music, and it's, I'm alive right now, and I'm doing it right now, so I don't really care the label that it is, as long as...
It'll change probably in a couple months anyway.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Can't get too wrapped up in a label, that's for sure.
While the lyrics are certainly very well written and clever...
Thank you.
There is a lot of everyday truth.
Yeah, hopefully it, you know, appeals to more folks than just, you know, songwriters. For my whole life, I've kind of felt like a songwriter. But I think it's hard for, you know, anybody in their 20s to navigate where we want to go. I think that the job market is changing so much, you know, as it does every, you know, 40, 50 years. But I think that, my generation has just kind of been this like lost generation of, you know, what do we do for jobs? There's the, you know, it's just all changing so fast. And my 20s were a scary time, but it's nice to look back and try to grow from all the terrible things that happen to you out there. I feel good where I'm at now. And it's funny because as a woman, you're meant to not feel good in your 30s. You're like, oh, my best years of my life are over. And that's just not true.
Since you put me down, I've been drinking just to drown. I've been lying through the cracks of my teeth. I've been waltzing with my sin. He's an ugly evil twin. He's a double crossing bag. Stabbing thief. I killed the angel on my shoulder with the fifth of Evan Williams. When I found out you were never coming home, I killed the angel on my shoulder. Since you left me for another, I've been trying to turn this broken heart to stone. No, darling, I won't speak your name. I hope that you will do the same. But I pray my voice will haunt you above the ground. And if I see your face again, don't consider me your friend. You made me feel like an orphan and act like a clown. I killed the angel on my shoulder with a handle of tequila, so I wouldn't have to spend my nights alone. Alone, I killed the angel on my shoulder. Since you left me for vampires at the bar. Well, they won't ever get too far. They're just sucking all of the good blood out of this town. But I'm an outcast and I'm a stray, and I plan to stay that way. Even if I fall from my grace, I'm gonna land back on the ground. Oh, I kill the angel on my shoulder with a bottle of the bullet, so I wouldn't have to hear you bitch and moan.
You played in Nashville for a while, and when you wanted to make this new record, you know, people had expectations that may have been entirely correct about the artistic direction you were going to take. Isn't that so true?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of people who didn't listen to the album because they had heard me before, and you know, there were some more mainstream labels that were looking at it and went in and talked with them. And, you know, I think that they did see some worth in it because of the way that things were going, but it was still very frightening to them. You know, I'm not 17 to 25 years old, and I'm not really into doing all these co-writes and, you know, trying to get with these people who have cuts and hits. So, you know, they were like, well, we're interested, but we need to see more. And there was a lot of just beating around the bush. And so finally, something else came along that was great. And I couldn't be happier with where I'm at.
I know your husband signed over the title to the car to help finance the initial recording. Is this a true story?
Yeah, he went down on Gallatin Road and went to a place that just, like, bought cars from people. And I really did try to talk him out of it, because we've seen other cars go by the wayside. To, you know, when we got the Winnebago, we had a Camry at that time, and we sold this nice, responsible Camry for a Winnebago that ended up breaking down. And we had an old 71 Super Beetle that we sold at one point to just make our mortgage payment. And, you know, so there were a lot of cars that had seen their demise because of our inability to keep normal jobs, and to fund, you know, what we were trying to do. And so it was really sweet that he did that, but it was frightening for me.
I'm pissed off at the number of people that I meet who go to shake my hand with a viper up their sleeve. It frees me out in the winter, burn me up all summer. Try to take my money when I'm desperate and depressed. Ain't it a mess? I played for free and paid for the miles on my truck. Got no sleep in the motel cause the worry keeps me up. It almost drives me crazy thinking about my baby and how he's gonna love me if I'm desperate and depressed. Can't get no rest. Mama never told me that things would be this way. Daddy tried to warn me that there'd be hell to pay. But if I can't find the money, then I can buy the time. Oh, 10% and nothing ain't a dime. We bust in Sarasota. I made $27. I went for Richard. Man, you all thinking I might have his luck. You talk behind my back. Well, don't stab me in the front. But don't think you can hurt me, cause I'm desperate and depressed, painted a mess. Oh, please somebody tell me how to make it stop. This world feels like a roller coaster, I just can't get off. Tried rehab and probation, tried self-medication, but none of that can cure you when you're desperate and depressed. What else is left? Mama never told me things would be this way. Daddy tried to warn me that there'd be hell to pay. But if I can't find money, then I can't buy the lie. Oh, 10% of nothing ain't a dime. So don't you try to sell me back what's mine. I'll be desperate and depressed until I die.
First of all, when you walk into Sun Studios, there's a pressure, sort of.
Yeah, there's a lot of good energy to be picked up in there, and I felt real drawn to Memphis. Just kind of being an outcast in Nashville, I thought this seemed like the great place to do it. And Matt Ross Spang was the one who had been working there for 11 years. And he was like, he just kept hounding me. He's like, we got to do this record. We got to do this record. I'll give you a great deal. And so he finally got me down there, and we did it in 3 days out of the sheer lack of budget.
And I imagine some of those were in the hours when the sun wasn't out.
Yeah. A lot, many of those hours, yeah. Sun went down, and then we would keep working. And I think the last night that we were in there recording, that my producer and engineer, Alex Munoz and Matt Ross Spang, they were in there laying down the dobro part of Hands of Time at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And everybody else had went back and was like partying at the Airbnb and celebrating being done with the record, but the two of them were still working away.
Making the most of it.
Yep, they were. They really were.
And then you if I'm remembering correctly, you mixed it at Arden, a couple of legendary joints that
I met Jody.
You certainly knew where great traditional music had been born.
Yeah, definitely. We got to hang out with Jody from Big Star when we were in there in Ardent, and I was like, kind of turned around, we were listening to a mix back of something, and all of a sudden I looked over to my left and like Jody was standing by me. He's like, I dig this. And then he hung out for a good long time that day. It was really nice.
How did the music find its way into Third Man and Jack White's hands?
You know, I still don't know the exact answer. I just know that.
I would have figured there'd be a lot of people taking credit for it by now.
Yeah. I just had a friend, and he said that Jack liked what I was doing. I had two separate friends. One actually was a girlfriend of mine in Memphis who has done some work with Third Man, and she told me, she was like, you need to send your album to Jack. And I was kind of, you know, didn't really know if it was too good to be true or what the deal was. So I don't think that I got my hopes up until I started speaking more with like Ben Swank and invited him out to a show that we played in Nashville. And then even after that, there were kind of a lot of, you know, it takes a while to close a deal like that. And, but everything just felt so natural immediately that I feel incredibly lucky to have ended up where I did.
You're nothing but a paper cowboy, made out of glue and old news. And all your bravado and your dirt dealing ways, that only gives us the blues. Always out talking. This town has no use for you now.
Now, you're performing at a Hotel Cafe, and I'm not sure if that show's absolutely sold out or not.
But I'm not sure either, but come out.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Because there is a real buzz happening, and you have been busy. I mean, just seeing you as we did last week, and then the 8 shows you did there, and then you did a few more things on the road since then. You're doing things here in Los Angeles. I know you're going to come back to town soon, and we want to get an update. We want to know if everything's going well.
We're doing Conan on the 24th, so
there you
don't
go.
Get to...
If you can't get into the Hotel Cafe, always see you on TV. Well, yeah. You know, that's no small thing. We certainly are glad that you are here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this support.
It was wonderful, you know, just inspiring performance, and we hope the best for you. Margo Price, live.
Thank you.
On KCSN. Thanks again.
Cheers.
You got it.